I think we're just getting started.
Salutations, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of 117 Gaming Squadron. I'm your squadron commander, Phil, and in this episode, I'll be talking about Super Mario Wonder for the Nintendo Switch. So this game came out on October 20th of 23, and within a month, it was already being praised for Game of the Year. It was nominated multiple times at the 2023 Gaming Awards, including, of course, Game of the Year. Metacritic gave it a 92 and a must-play game. Now, I enjoy Mario. I feel like he has many games that are undeniably enjoyable and have multiple playthroughs. This time around, Nintendo decided to switch, get it, Mario around and pretty much give him and his friends this psychedelic gameplay. Now, it's worth mentioning that is this a game of the year and is it a must-play? Well, let's discuss in this episode my thoughts on it. And ultimately, is this worth picking up and playing on your Nintendo Switch? So now I do have some updates. So I actually finally got around and started a Twitch channel. You can look for it at... go to Twitch and then type in 117 Gaming Squadron, all one word, and you'll be able to find me. And this time, you can actually see me in person, see me rage quit, outbursts. Probably watch me and be like, wow, this guy kind of sucks at video games, which some games it's tough. Other games it's, you know, I do like to challenge myself, but at the same time, I also like to make progress in the game and everything. So go ahead and swing on by to Twitch, type in 11 Gaming Squadron, one word, hit follow, and then also, you know, turn on notifications when I go live so you can come watch me. A lot of the times what I'll probably do is the games that I will be playing through, I will be talking about sometime in the future. So you can go ahead and get an idea of what the game's like, what my experience is of it and everything. And, you know, come on over, say hi in the chat and tell me what you think. All right, let's get over to the beer drinking. So I'm trying out a beer called Lost 40. It's a New England IPA. It is by Portage Brewing out in Walker, Minnesota. So I have never actually heard of them. I actually just found them in my local liquor store, and I thought, you know, I'll give them a try. So looking at this beer, this thing weighs in at 7% alcohol for a 16-ounce can. And a lot of the IPAs I've noticed, especially New England, stuff like that, like they're averaging now between 6 and 7%, sometimes even a little bit more, as your average alcohol ABV and everything. So I think this is probably about right for a good hazy. The hops that this thing is loaded with, we got Citra, Mosaic, and Amarillo Cryo hops, which I'm very curious to see if I'm able to taste the Amarillo Cryo hops. So yeah, I'm actually looking more for a citrus flavor profile with these, especially if I can taste orange or maybe even a little bit of tangerine. So let's see what we get. That's a nice pour right there. Put that guy there. All right. Ooh, this thing's color is very... It's not even gold. It's very hazy. Almost like a yellow. Yeah, it's kind of like a very light... Kind of like a sun yellow. Hazy. Smells good. I can definitely smell that juiciness. Yeah, I can smell a little bit of citrusy. Let's see what the first taste is like. That's good. Yeah, that's definitely a good hazy. The bitterness is not too strong. The juiciness is definitely there. The aftertaste, the kind of end result, can taste the hops. Definitely the fruitiness of it. I am kind of getting a little bit of an orange. I mean, the alcohol's there. You can taste it, but it's not overpowering where it's actually bad. This stuff is actually kind of almost like smooth in terms of the flavor profile of it. Actually covers up the alcohol, so it's actually gonna, this is actually kind of a nice New England IPA. So, all right, well, let's get on to what you guys are here for, talking about Super Mario Wonder. So I went online to see what other people are thinking about it at the time, and this one person over at Metacritic wrote, "Super Mario Bros. Wonder is the Mario game we didn't know we wanted. This long-running series is no stranger to new mechanics, and Wonder adds to the list with a completely fresh take while staying true to its roots. Simply put, it's a joy to play." Another user wrote, "Not getting all the hype surrounding Wonder. Solid Mario adventure with amazing graphics, but there are better 2D Mario games. This game is way too easy. Yes, I know it's a family Nintendo game, but its easiness just isn't for me. I do really like some of the Wonder seeds, but overall not a 10. I don't really like the first area, but the rest of the game's areas feel really cool." So right now we kind of got like two different opinions in the game. One person really liked it. The other person said, you know, what's up with all the hype? It's a typical Mario game. And I personally, I guess we'll see what I talk about and everything. But it's interesting how this one person said, I don't know what the hype is about Mario. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some Mario games that I've never really been a fan of. And I'm not saying it's terrible. But it's just, it just never grabbed me, never sucked me in. And that would be Super Mario Sunshine. That game, I've tried to play multiple times. I try to get back into it. And it's never grabbed me. Just the whole level designs, the having to have that water pack, you have to refill it all the time. And just, and sometimes the controls were just, oh, God. It just, God, that game pissed me off sometimes. So, I don't know. I'll probably keep going back to it here and there, trying to get stuff done, but that's the only Mario game I can think of right now that's kind of like, eh. I mean, yeah. But anyway. So why did I choose Mario Wonder? Well, first off, like I mentioned earlier, I am a fan of Mario. I mean, I've been playing it since he came out on the Nintendo, which is why my first episode is Super Mario Brothers for the NES. But what really caught my attention was when they start actually advertising it and they kind of released the trailer where Mario actually turned into an elephant. And I was like, okay, what is Mario up to? I can tell it's a 3D, 2D side-scrolling game, kind of like what Super Mario Brothers Deluxe U was and Super Mario 3D World. But I'm kind of curious, like, okay, how does Mario turning into an elephant have anything to do with this game? So I would look at videos online, saw reviews, and actually watched a few gameplays before going out purchasing myself, and was very excited and curious to how these Wonder Seeds worked in the game. So let's go and dive in and talk about it. Just to let you know, this is spoiler warning. So I will be talking about stuff in the game that could spoil it for you if you do not want to hear it. You're probably going to have to skip ahead a little bit, probably towards the end when I kind of say if it's worth playing or not. But just a heads up, spoiler. So, all right, here we go. So in this game, you actually get to play as multiple characters. You get to choose from, let's see, you got your typical Mario, Luigi, Peach, Toad, Toadette, Daisy. Then you got multiple Yoshis. You got like a green, blue, red, purple. And then you got Nibbit, who was introduced in one of the previous games. And so one thing to know about is the fact that if you play as the Yoshis or Nibbit, they do not take any damage. And what I mean by that is if you get hit with something, they do not die. They just take the hit and keep going. But the downside to that is the fact that you cannot use any of the power-ups. So you cannot use the fire flower, you cannot use the bubble, you cannot use the drill, you cannot even turn into an elephant. But if you are playing with multiple people, if you get a power-up, you can actually put it in the reserve bank for them to use later. So those characters are pretty good for anybody who wants to play, but is not good and feel like they're gonna kind of keep you behind and everything. So me personally, I played as Toad the entire time. I thought he was a lot of fun. And granted, all you really are getting is his mannerisms and his voice, because everything else is the characters turn into the same thing, elephant and everything. But it's just fun actually playing as Toad, because through all the Mario games, of course, you play as Mario, you sometimes barely get to play as Luigi. And then Peach and Daisy is kind of like a questionable thing. It's just... And then, of course, Toad doesn't really get much love. So I think the guy's a lot of fun to play with. But one of the things they actually do to this game, they actually introduce a new... ally. That is actually from the... what did I write down? Oh, the Flower Kingdom. And so, basically, you go over to the Flower Kingdom, Prince... What's his name? Prince Florian invites you over. And then Bowser... Because he wants to show you the Wonder Flower and everything to his at his kingdom and everything. He's the Prince of Flower Kingdom. He wants to show it to you, what it can do. You're like, great. Mario and your buddies kind of head over there. Well, of course, Bowser shows up, takes the Wonder Flower, uses it on himself, and actually morphs with Prince Florian's castle and turns it into like a living Bowser castle that's actually floating in the air. So that's kind of how the adventure begins. So Mario's like, Prince Florian, we will help you and our friends. So the adventure kicks off. And along the way, you kind of meet his people, the Poplins, and they will help you out. They would sometimes say, hey, I found a wonder seed. Here you go. Other times they would be like, hey, here's a power up. And they would also have shops in each of the different little areas. There'll be a shop where you can buy stuff, because throughout the levels you get purple coins, and now you can use it shops to basically buy Wonder Seed lives, these things called badges, which I will explain later. And then there's these new concept called standees, where if you're playing in the multiplayer mode, you can actually put a standee right there to basically show you're there. But at the same time, if you die in that level and someone's with you, they can actually bring you back via that standing or standee and everything. So, and as, of course, you can also collect them. I think there's like 25 standee per character, so there's definitely quite a few. And when you go to these Poplin shops, you can actually spend 10 purple coins to buy a standee, and it's always given to you at random. So I have no idea if you collect them all, if something happens. I've yet to look online to see if that's actually true or what happens, but I mean, maybe I'll probably eventually go back in and try to complete it. But anyway, one of the fun things about this is the fact that this game actually does include a lot more humor than some of the Mario games. And by that, I mean, there's actually talking flowers throughout each level. And they would just sit there and say like, oh, what a wonderful day, or something along the lines of like, aren't you missing something? Kind of hinting at like, hey, you didn't find the Wonder Seed. But there's a few where a level where suddenly the ground goes out from under you and you're falling. The flowers is like, ah, we're falling. You just hear him go all the way down, and it's just the flowers actually are a fun little introduction to these levels. They are just, they're at random, they say this random things. They're one of them, I think he said like, oh, I'm finally getting some sun today. Or you come out of the water and he's like, oh, how was the water today, refreshing? So they're always a little fun to hear what they have to say. So the design of this game is, I mean, Nintendo likes to keep the formula of the Mario being a platformer, whether it's kind of like a 2D game where the characters, everything's 3D, but it's a 2D side-scrolling, or it could be a 3D Mario, which we've kind of seen with like Odyssey, 64, and Sunshine, and stuff like that, even Galaxy. But this one, the way they designed the characters and everything, that it's 2D side-scrolling, but it's actually a 3D element. And by that, I mean, there will be times in certain levels where you actually go through a warp pipe and you end yourself up in the background of that level, or sometimes they actually put you in the forefront of that level and everything. So they do, Nintendo does utilize kind of the hill area and not just kind of like, hey, that background's just there for, you know, image to be pretty. No, some of the levels actually utilize that, and you actually have to go back there and do something back there. And of course, you're looking at a distance, your character's smaller, you're kind of trying to figure out, like, hey, what's going on? But that's a cool concept that Nintendo brought into this, where it's kind of like this 3D element of the main stage, forefront, and then the back of the level and everything in the background. So this game, which I think Nintendo's kind of actually going to be kind of keeping the standard with, is that you have a map of the world that you can kind of play around with, and each area has a different theme. One's on, like, grass, the other one's in snow, the other one's in the desert, one's up in the clouds, one you're actually underground and it's lava, and the other one you're actually in grounds of a fungi cave. So you have those different areas, and of course there's different stages for you to go through. You complete one, you move on to the next one, and then along that way you can kind of maybe come across a poplin shop to buy stuff, or you find a warp pipe that can kind of help you jump back and forth to other worlds. But the game actually does allow you to kind of warp around, in terms of if you open up your map, whole map and everything, you say, oh, I want to go back to this level, you just kind of warp back there and everything. And so it does tell you how much you've completed. Did you get, there are actually two Wonder Seeds per level, so did you get both Wonder Seeds, did you actually get all three purple big coins, and did you actually get a Wonder Ending? And by that, what I mean is a Wonder Ending is where you actually jump on top of the flagpole and it would say Wonder, and then you slide down. That is how you would get, well, at least for me, I would mostly get the Wonder Ending. Sometimes I didn't, but get the Wonder Seed and everything. But it's a fun challenge to actually kind of have to go back and be like, okay, the only thing I'm missing this level is to get that Wonder Ending. And sometimes there's actually, like, platforms for you to get up there. Other times you kind of have to be like, crap, there's a pipe I have to come out of, then I can make it through. So then you have to figure out where that pipe is and everything. So you may have to replay those levels a few times. So now, one of the key elements or mechanics in this game that is new is what I mentioned earlier, is the Wonder Flower and the badges. So the Wonder Flower is kind of like the big thing about what makes this game unique. And so each level, there's a Wonder Flower, but it's hidden. It's not, the first couple levels, it's actually just right there for you to grab. But anyway, throughout the, as you progress through the maps and stages and everything, the Wonder Flower tends to get a little bit more challenging to find. And so, but once you find it, it actually transforms the level. And it could either make things come alive, like the pipes come alive, they start snaking themselves around, platforms start moving. There are even Wonder Flowers that actually change your appearance. Like one of them, I turned into a blob, and I had to stick to the walls and ceiling to make my way around. One of them, you turn into a Goomba, which requires you to do stealth so you don't get hit. One of them, you actually fly. Like, it actually shoots you up in the air and you're flying. Each level is different in how that Wonder Flower activates. And it does kind of make it psychedelic. It changes the color, changes the tone, changes the music. Sometimes it even makes it fast-paced. Some levels actually turn black, where the forefront, everything's black, and you just have a very light, like maybe red background. You can't see anything but just those two colors. And you're trying to make your way through it, and you're like, hey, what am I doing this right or not? So that whole Wonder Flower, that was actually a neat idea that Nintendo implemented in this game, in terms of, you got your firepower, you got your bubble power, you got a drill, you got the elephant, but now you have the Wonder Flower, which basically changes up the whole level. And as you're going through it, to get out of Wonder Flower, you either die, and then you have to start the level over again, or your previous checkpoint, or you actually get to the Wonder Flower, and then it reverts back to its original stage form. So sometimes you may have to replay that level because you did not find the Wonder Flower the first time around. Or the Wonder Seed, sorry. No, Wonder Flower, yeah. It's Wonder Seed again. You get the Wonder Seed at the end. And stuff like that. So, very cool idea. Definitely, different for Nintendo. I hope that maybe they kind of keep that idea going. I just thought that was a really great idea. Now, they also introduced a new thing called badges, where Prince Florian can actually wear a badge that actually gives you kind of a power-up in that level ahead of time. So one of them could be in the swimming level. To get the badges, you actually have to go through a challenge in the map. And by that challenge is basically like, okay, wall jumping. So you have to do a wall jumping challenge. And in the end, you get the badge, which helps you wall jump in terms of Mario can already wall jump already. But this one allows you, if you have it on, instead of jumping kind of left to right, it actually jumps straight up. So you can wall jump up and then you can jump over. So it's kind of like you kind of give yourself a little bit more height before you kind of cross over. There are some where it's in the swimming level, you get kind of like a dolphin speed where it actually allows you to swim faster and you actually get a little bit more power so you can actually barrel through brick walls and all those levels of when you're swimming. There's one that helps you run across sand if you're not slowed down. There's some which allow you to, when you jump, you hit the right trigger, bumper, and he spins and it gives him a little bit more height. There's some that you actually have a vine, so when you jump up, you shoot a vine. It allows you to cling to a wall. I mean, a lot of these badges are pretty fun. And then you get some of the badges where, if you want to say, for example, the elephant, every power-up you get turns you into the elephant, regardless if it's a mushroom, a drill, firepower. You automatically turn into a elephant for that level. So the badges are nice. They're a fun addition that kind of can help you complete the level the way you see fit. So me, personally, once I unlocked the where I can jump a little higher, that one helped me a lot because I would jump. And then, of course, if I'm falling, I hit the right bumper, he twirl up. And that saved my ass multiple times from either getting hit, falling to a pit, getting up to that height. I mean, it was a good addition. So that was the one I used a lot. Now, so most of those badges you have to go through challenges, and then throughout the maps you actually come across a second challenge which doesn't really upgrade your badge. It just kind of says, okay, you are good at it. Now let's challenge you some more to see how you do and everything. And so they're fun. They're challenging, but they're fun. So I'm missing one badge, which I don't know which one it is. It's a special one, so I'll have to figure it out. Beep, 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 beep. Yep, talked about that. Okay, so let's talk about the levels, which I kind of already briefly talked about in design. I think Nintendo did a good job of creating multiple levels with different feels. Like, you start off easy, where it's kind of like, hey, here's the game, here's the mechanics, here's what it's like. And then it gradually gets more difficult down the line where, oh my god, like, your skills are kind of put to the test. And the overall feel of the game, I would not say it's too difficult for children to play. There are definitely challenging levels in terms of you got to be kind of quick, you got to be smart, you got to kind of understand what's going on, you know, maybe pick the right badge to help you with it, but it is doable. Now, if you complete the game and everything, it does unlock what is known as a special world where it actually, let me back up a second there. So each stage has a difficulty star. So like one star is easy, 2, 3, 4. That's what these worlds are. You have either at one star or up to 4 stars of difficulty. Now, when you get to the special world, those are all 5 stars, which they're the most difficult in the game, which require their specialty. But those are the ones that were the most challenging for me. I actually did a stream of me trying to complete one of them, which is strictly wall jumping. And I can tell you that one, I think I went through about 35 lives, and it took me about 45 minutes to complete that that level. And in that stream, man, you could just see me just like getting pissed, getting frustrated, like, oh my god, what do I do? I was switching badges, try to figure it out. Eventually, I made it through, and you can just see my excitement of like, oh, I did it. What would be fun about this, these levels, is the fact that if they would incorporate this in the Mario Maker 2. Now, I know I'm kind of veering off subject, but that would be exciting if they introduced the Wonder stuff into Mario Maker. Makes so many fun levels, but anyway, the level design that Nintendo does for these games is, they're good. They start up easy and work their way up. And I think it's a good idea because then, because the people who aren't great at video games or just want to have fun, they can complete it. And you want ones that are adults or want the challenge that's actually there. So you get a little bit of a mixture of both. And like I said, those special worlds, Nintendo really wanted to challenge you. And I'm like, really, Nintendo? Like, that one jumping level is like, geez, Nintendo just wants to watch the world burn. Because that one, out of all the special worlds, that one was the one that was the most challenging. Like, God, I was just, man, I was getting pissed. I wanted to rage quit, but I kept going. So the controls in this game are pretty much the same as any Mario. You have your jump, your run, your attack button if you have fire or bubble. Your right trigger allows you to use your badge or something, or whatever badge you have activated. Now, you do have a reserve of a power-up, which if you hold A, it gives it to you, kind of like other previous Mario games. So, I mean, there's not much to say about controls. If you played a Mario game, you can easily figure these out and jump right in and have no issue with it. Now, let's talk about the music. So, every Mario game, you know, they definitely put a lot of effort into the music. They definitely make it unique for that game, of course. So, the music for this game did fit Mario Wonders, and the music would definitely change when you actually activate the Wonder Flower. So, you're playing the level, and you find the Wonder Flower, it activates, it changes, it suddenly, the music suddenly becomes fast-paced, very kind of like, oh my god, psychedelic, very, almost kind of felt like a circus a few times. It's just fast-paced, like, and so you're kind of like, oh god, I gotta get going. This thing's speeding up and everything. And so then when you find the Wonder Seed, music slows down and goes back to what the level of music was. So they did a good job of switching up the music and kind of fitting it for the category. Now, some of the levels in this that you actually have to follow the beat of the music. And so there's, So there's one level where you activate the Wonder Flower, and it basically kind of kicks off like it's a concert. So you activate the Wonder Flower, it puts you on this platform, spotlights hit you, your back is turned, you're looking over your shoulder, kind of like you're at a concert, singer and none, and everything. It's just like, and then when you start moving, it's fast-paced music going off. I was like, wow, it feels like you're in a concert. It was a lot of fun, that level. That's one I enjoyed. That's one I want to replay because it's just, especially if you're in the elephant form, it's even better when you look over your shoulder and you're like posing as an elephant. So, but yeah, there's some levels we have to follow the beat of the music by jumping and everything. They do have singing flowers. They also have singing piranhas, which I'm surprised that they have a very high-pitched voice. They're like, la, 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 da, da, da. And then they climb out of their pipe and kind of chase you and start singing. So, yeah, I was like, well, now I know what they sound like. Oh, what else is there that's, I mean, so this, like, okay, this game isn't, it's not terribly long. I think I probably got through in about 8 to 10 hours, and you could probably push it to 12 or more, especially if you're trying to complete everything, get all the coins, get all the wonder endings, get all the flower seeds, wonder seeds and everything. But like any Mario game, like kind of like that, you can probably, I mean, there's definitely people out there speedrunning this and everything, just barreling through it, skipping the wonder seeds, flowers and everything like that. They're just cruising through it. Now, I am curious, because there's certain stages that you need so many wonder seeds to unlock
to move forward. So sometimes it's actually like you would have to get every Wonder Seed in that area to unlock that one stage to move forward. And that's usually the end of the level boss fight kind of thing, where you're going to the castle and everything. Now, I don't know if you speed run to that, do you have to go back and just get the Wonder Seed? But when you do, you can't just get the Wonder Seed and quit, or get that coin and quit. You actually have to complete the level. So it makes sense. You can't just jump in there and get it and dip out. Nintendo was like, nope, you got to complete the level to actually make it count. So there's a couple levels that I need the coins to finish, and I'm hesitant because I have to actually complete the level, and those things are a pain in the ass. And I don't know, I'm just... Anyway. Well, okay, what are my final thoughts in this game? Here's where people can actually, who thought be spoiling, can jump in and everything. So I actually overall really enjoyed Super Mario Wonder. This new approach by changing the norm of Mario, but keeping the core element of the game, I think it actually worked. It was a fantastic design by Nintendo, and I'm not saying they like reinvented the wheel, but Nintendo finds ways to keep Mario fresh and not like the same old, oh, it's just your typical platform left to right, but blah, blah, blah thing. No, they introduce new elements, new mechanics to the point where it's like, yeah, you kind of defeat Bowser and his children and stuff like that, but hey, we got a Wonder Flower this time. Look what it does. Or we got different power-ups and stuff like that. Look what it does. And everything. So Nintendo has been doing a good job doing their homework, basically saying, okay, how do we get people to play these games? What's new about it? Because it makes sense. If you kept releasing the same formula for each game, eventually people would be kind of like, eh, I'm bored. Or, eh, it's the same thing over and over again. And I think that's kind of what's happened a few times with Sonic the Hedgehog with Sega. They kind of kept using the same formula. People kind of got burned out, so they kind of had to go back and kind of rethink everything. And then now, Sonic is actually on a better spot than he was before. So this is one of those games I do highly recommend you play if you own a Nintendo Switch. To me, it was a lot of fun. I think kids will love it, and I know adults will too. This is actually a four-player game, so you can play with one play, two, three, or four players. And that's both locally or online. So I've yet to play online, but I hear it's actually, you can team up or you can challenge each other. I think it'll be fun to challenge each other to see who gets to the end, but it's also could be a good party game. You have friends over, you all play a different character, you kind of help each other out to complete the level and everything. And so to me, I think this is a Mario game that I would recommend giving it a try. I think you would really enjoy it. I think you would downright want to have it in your collection, and it's probably one of those games that I will replay down the road. I would probably want to be like, you know what, I want to do some more Mario Wonder and go out, start a new game and play it again. Now, I know I mentioned earlier where people are saying like, hey, should this be game of the year? This is game of the year, blah, blah, blah. Now, I mean, it was an impressive game. Nintendo did a good job. It was impressive. It was definitely a must play. I agree to that. But for it to be kind of game of the year, that one I'm kind of like, eh. It didn't knock my socks off. And now if I was comparing other Nintendo games that released the year, I think if they were going to say game of the year for any Nintendo, it would definitely have been Tears of the Kingdom. That should have been game of the year for Nintendo. But, you know, when Nintendo's competing against itself, it kind of can be difficult. Who would you support more? Mario, Zelda, Metroid, Pokemon, whatever else they got, you know, Animal Crossing. So, anyway. All right, enough of that. Let's talk about what I think of the beer. Actually, I'm actually only halfway through it, but it's a good beer. Definitely, it's a solid New England IPA. Definitely hazy. Got some good flavors, good bitterness. The aftertaste, I mean, kind of makes my mouth a little chalky, but not like it's terrible and everything. So if you're looking for a new, refreshing New England Hazy IPA, I would say, hey, pick up Lost 40 from Portage Brewery. I would say easily this beer is one I would probably pick up again. It'd be fun if I actually go to the brewery and try it on tap. That would actually probably taste a lot more fresh, a lot more enjoyable. But for the four pack, for what I priced, for pay for, not bad. All right, I think it's time you guys sign off. I think I killed enough time for you guys to schedule. You know, I burned up some time for you guys, so thank you for listening. I'd like to say, you know, enjoy. Let me try that again. Okay. God, man, I'm sucking at my job right now. So, thank you guys all for listening. Please make sure you like, subscribe, follow, all that great stuff. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your pastor, tell your parole officer, tell your postal man, tell you, you know, all those people. Say, hey, follow this person. But also, check out my Twitch channel, you know, 117 Gaming Squadron, all one word. And you'll be able to see me play these games. I plan on trying to at least stream 3 times a week, maybe more, depending on my schedule. But from there, like I mentioned earlier, I will be playing games and eventually be talking about them. So you might be able to see me play a game that eventually makes it up on the podcast of what I think about it and everything. So come on by, follow me, come say hi, see how I'm doing, watch me rage quit, rage outburst, make fun of the game. You know, all that good stuff. So, until next time, take care, drink beer, and continue to play video games. Cheers.